He is a professor of education, also the vice president of the UVic Faculty Association and Certification Committee Chair, and he's talking to us this afternoon on CFAX 1070 about this vote and also some of the background as to why they thought that this was necessary. Good of you to take time out of your day. I guess you're very excited about this, and congratulations.
Thank you, Terry. We're extremely excited. On behalf of the entire Faculty Association, we want to thank all of our members for coming out and voting in such a decisive way and voicing their support for their Faculty Association and for moving forward with our administration in a very collegial way. So we're excited about what this new dawn can bring for us and about strengthening the mission of our university and our place in it.
Well, a pretty resounding yes in this one. 63% of the faculty said this is what we want. Tell me why.
I think that it's been widespread and historic in terms of support for unionization at UVic, and it's been underestimated. The first attempt was made in 1988, and a lot of those members are still here. And we've had a large turnover of our membership over the last 7 years. About 50% of our members are new members. And I think they're coming from other institutions that may have been unionized, like the other 80% of our colleagues across the country that are certified unions. So they've had the experience. They realize that it can increase collegiality. It can mean increased powers to protect our mission, our academic freedom, and our integrity as academics and researchers.
Now, do you become a union as a separate entity, or what union do you actually belong to?
We are our own union. So as we said from the beginning, it's going to be the same people doing the same work, but this time with enhanced legal rights. So it's going to be the Faculty Association. What we're hoping is with this new engagement that we've had with our membership that we will increase activity and engagement and participation by our members in our decision-making and sort of renew all of our committees and just build a new period of working together, trusting one another, and finding ways, synergistic ways of working with the university to amplify our voice together with theirs.
Dr. Price, clarify a couple of things for me then. Let's go through some of the things that you were concerned about. Certainly, we'll talk about job security, job integrity, academic freedoms. Why would this union, first off, let's go to academic freedoms. What does this solve on your academic freedom roster that wasn't there before as a member of the faculty at the University of Victoria? Because my understanding is that it's a pretty strong environment intellectually and so on at the University of Victoria, but why would you think that there's a threat to academic freedoms or job integrity or job security?
Because, Terry, we actually do have cases that involve academic freedom.
Okay.
And this is one of the things that was part of the education campaign, was that so many of our members are aware in terms of some of the work that we do, but without having the intimate details of the day-to-day nuts and bolts of being a faculty association.
Yeah.
And how so often the futures, the careers, the lives of our colleagues can sometimes they can find themselves in very difficult positions that need to be resolved. And there are attacks on academic freedom that take place, even in fine universities like this one. And I don't want to say that it's happening at a level that's greater than others. But what unionization does is it provides us with legal rights, provides us with grievance rights, provides us with the rights to open up the non-monetary parts of our collective agreement to try to streamline develop mechanisms that allow us to collegially resolve things more easily.
Now, a portion, of course, of your faculty did not vote in favor of this. Is this going to raise any major hackles within the quote unquote integrity of the faculty itself in all of the areas in which they work and the level of cooperation that would be expected?
I think that's a very good question, and it's a pressing concern for us is to reach out and to heal any wounds that might have taken place during the campaign. To let all of our faculty members know that they will have ample opportunity to be consulted to help to shape and structure and inform the certified union as it moves forward. And as always, our members retain the vote on initiatives, and they do determine the priorities, set the priorities for our faculty association. So we're thinking through those types of engagements, intensifying those forms of engagement, that's going to make us stronger, that we'll find the unity in diversity.
What was different in 1988 compared to 2014, aside from the numbers?
I can only go on secondhand knowledge, but it sounds as if the difference was the actual executive. It sounded like the attempt in 1988, where the membership was very much in favor mm-hmm. of moving towards certification, and they had a faculty association that was less enthusiastic about pursuing that. Now, let's say it's an amazing amount of work, and we have to thank our volunteers for doing all of that work, and we had dozens of volunteers. So I think this bodes well as well for engaging our faculty moving forward, is that we've identified all of these new leaders on our campus, and we hope that they'll maintain that high profile and keep engaging with their colleagues.
Does it also mean that all members of the faculty must become now certified members of this union, or do they have the right to opt out?
I believe, and my opinion will be tentative, and that as a layman, but I believe that the legislation in BC only allows for opting out for religious reasons. But
okay.
This would be something that I think we could turn to a lawyer for a complete response on that.
What about the salaries of the people involved in this union? Is it going to maintain the salaries? Does it give you the opportunity to negotiate for higher salaries? Or, like some businesses, where you form a union, they take you down to union wages, and some people lose money?
Yeah. I don't think that would be the case, because, I mean, this isn't a new road that we're walking. It's a road that's been walked for decades by faculty associations across the country. Mm-hmm. So there are pathways, there's maps to follow, and I believe that what we'll find is that we'll make modest gains, that we will work cooperatively with the university to identify areas that can be addressed in terms of faculty salary and benefits.
Yes.
And we expect a very cooperative administration to work with us under President Cassells and the Provost, Dr. Tremblay.
All right, let's look at one of the most important issues that you deal with, and that's with the students on a day-to-day basis. What does this mean for the students overall?
I think it means that the students can be guaranteed that the mission of this university will continue, that we will be dedicated to providing the most excellent, outstanding education that we possibly can, one of the very best in the world. And I think by being certified, it allows us to protect that mission. It will provide us with the ability to be able to resist unwarranted cuts to programming. It will allow us to resist intrusions into academic freedom in terms of course design. So I think that the students, it's a very much a win situation for the students, and I think that they've known that from the beginning, and we've gone out of our way to work with student groups and to keep them informed.
University of Victoria has got a pretty good reputation right across this country. But let me ask you about attracting other people to come and work at the university. Do you believe that this is going to be an incentive or a deterrent?
We are an outstanding university, and distinction has been established by cooperation between faculty, students, staff, and the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And we see ourselves moving forward in that direction, of keep on improving, keep on growing, and keep on reestablishing and recommitting ourselves to that mission.
When does the actual certification take place?
We've actually, the university and ourselves, and I had a wonderful meeting with our president, Dr. Cassells, who was very magnanimous,
yep.
And we're really looking forward to moving forward in this new position. And we've actually signed the documents with the industrial relations officer, and it will be later registered with the LRB, and then we'll receive a certificate of certification. And I'm not exactly sure of the timeline, but I think it's fairly quick.
So that would be within the next couple of weeks at least.
I believe so.
Well, listen, congratulations. I know all of you worked hard, and we'll see where this goes. And 63%.